Well, it's Sunday evening again, and the 6 o'clock hour has rolled upon us, and that means it's time for, if I dare say it, one of your favorite programs, because everybody's indicating to me they enjoy this program, The Good Doctor, and she is here with us, Dr. Renetta Boyce. She's on deck for the Better Health Radio Show, and Dr. Boyce, good evening to you, first of all.
Good evening, Gregston.
I want to say good evening to the young lady or mature lady, whoever it was, that had the audacity and the, you know, she was really upfront with you, according to what you reported, in asking you to kindly leave the big guy alone. I would like you to follow her directive and please be kind to me as I am to you. Hope you had a lovely day today, Doc.
I did have a lovely day. Because it is the month of November, and everybody knows by now that I am on top of the world from November 1st to 30th.
Looking forward. That's why the lady had to put you place.
No, a lady actually did say to me that I must leave Gregston alone.
Yes, leave me
for
alone.
For the general public, I am letting it be known that I do not interfere with Gregston. Mm-hmm. I just respond to what he does to me.
I love that, what I do. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's the guilty party.
Yep, pour me one.
Nevertheless, good evening, everybody.
Happy birthday again to you.
Well, it's not yet. First, for no.
I am going to forget.
No, you're not going to forget.
Oh, you're
going to
let me forget.
Of course not. I hear you. No, this week is the anniversary. Our anniversary will be on Wednesday.
Do you mind if I ask you how long, how many years?
It's going to be 15 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Looking forward to celebrating it. What was I saying before I was interrupted?
I can't remember. I did interrupt you, so I can't remember what it was that you were saying.
Oh, I was saying good evening to our listeners.
All right, proceed.
Good evening and welcome to the Better Health Radio Show, helping you to live your best life. I do have some greetings today. I have to say hello to Patricia Lucas. I met her out of school in the north of the island. I also have to say hello to Ruth Ann. And I think the other person I need to say hello to is a young lady called Brittany. I believe so. But if I've gotten your name wrong, as I quite often do, my apologies. But do know that my heart... Know that my heart is in the right place. These are some people who have been saying to me that they really do enjoy the show and miss it at all. Oh, and I met a lady in church this morning who said so too, but I didn't get her name. So hello to you, the lady that I met in church this morning. Coming up next week. Aha, even before you get the chance to tell me about not knowing.
Oh, you sure enough, because you know.
Yes.
You remember. Go ahead.
We're going to be discussing contraception next week. Mm-hmm. So you can do your reading on it. And for those persons who were looking forward to contraception this week because they got the dates wrong.
But they wouldn't have known, so it's quite all right.
Actually, yes, I told them to listen today because it was supposed to be contraception.
Okay.
So my apologies. I did get the dates wrong. We are not dealing with contraception today. That's next week. It's going to be Dr. Courtney Yarbrough. She'll be back with us discussing contraception, which is a wide and varied topic.
There's a caller on the line, Doc. I'm not sure what they are going to say because we haven't discussed anything as yet.
Maybe they want to wish me happy.
Do you wish to engage them?
Sure, let's see what
happens.
All
right, let's see if we can access them very quickly. Go ahead, Doc.
Good evening.
Peace be unto you and yours.
Hello, how are you?
I am thankful and happy to be back on that I can interact with you all. But as the Belgian dialect was said, well, you all look like 16, you all look like you have
no, come on. No.
What's that color over there, Gregson? Green? Envy?
You look like 16.
Well, thank you very much.
So when you said that years of togetherness, anniversary, will you look at her as in Belgian dialect?
I understand what you mean.
But Grayson, I always had Grayson on a pedestal.
I'm not there anymore?
I'm a caring person. Uh-huh. I'm not to spoil my boy reputation.
No, I'm just being honest.
I like that. I like that comment, no. Yes, you're trying her utmost best to ruin my reputation.
Anyhow, Doc, I love you. I love Grayson. And I keep up the good with a very, very good program. It's a blessed day that I don't know Grayson if you is the person who think about it.
Nope, it was not my initiative.
You know, but she this lady coming in, and, you know, it led me to a lot of things because we have to, especially in these times, because so much people being sick and, you know, just collapsing and dying and things like that. So, my little worker, she lost her brother to cancer this morning.
Sorry to hear.
I was not here for a few weeks because they went down to Dominica, a friend of mine who lost battle with breast cancer. You know, I lost my mom and my stepdad and a lot of my family. At one time, they was diagnosing me for it, but thank God he gave me a second chance. It was almost there, but God saved me. So, you know, I'm thankful, but I am enjoying the program. May God's travel and mercy be with you all as you all travel home. I wish you happy birthday in advance and happy anniversary, my darling.
Thank you so very much.
Okay, good year, and I'm going to enjoy the program. Anything with Grayson. Me, I just want my Grayson was always my mom.
You're too kind. You're too kind. But thank you kindly.
I
remember.
For that. Because that night I didn't know a human being could sleep, and that night when I could have seen you were there with all the good music. Sometimes they smile, sometimes they cry, but it gave me strength. I'm talking to you too. One thing with you, some of these years don't answer the phone, I read it announcers, but you would always answer and always give me a kind word on Grayson. I thank you, and may God continue to wish the best to you.
You are very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Have a good evening. All right, take care. That was a listener from years ago when we were in 104. It was called Yes 1040 Time. We had a conversation for a long, long time because of the situation she was going through. But anyway, she's good now, and we are happy to have her. Your turn, Doc. I promise I won't interrupt you anymore.
Don't make promises that you cannot keep.
See why they got to leave me alone now?
We are going to be discussing work-related stress today. It is something that I believe is
what
very...
What was that? Wait a minute. I just did interrupt her again. You said work-related stress? You mean like this? What you're doing
well,
to me?
It cannot be stress because if the listeners could only see the smile on my face, there is no stress on this face right now at
I'm
all.
I'm talking about me.
Oh, sorry.
The stress you're giving me. Continue, my dear.
My apologies. So, somebody said, I stress about stress even before there is stress to stress about. We don't know who wrote it, but that's a quote by somebody about stress, and I'm sure we've all gone through some stressful period in our life. Somebody has died, we've lost a job, we have lost a relationship, we have not gotten paid.
that would be real stress.
Yes, we have situations that we've come upon, children who don't listen anymore. So many things can cause us stress. But we are going to be focusing a little bit on stress on the job, but I think it can be generalized as stress in any situation. So we're going to start out by defining what stress is, and then we're going to just look at a few numbers. Is stress, is it necessary to talk about stress? Is it important? Does it matter? We're going to look at the causes of stress, what stress can possibly do to the body. Are there any complications? And most importantly, I believe we're going to discuss the management of stress. So what's stress? What do you think stress is, Gregson, apart from me?
Ken Husbands.
Oh, geez, all right.
Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Ken. I'm not part of that. So stress is defined as a physical, emotional, or mental factor that causes bodily or mental tension. So stress isn't only physical, but it is mental. And it can be external, so it can be as a result of your environment. So, for example, when I come into the studio and the temperature is 10 degrees below zero, that is environmental stress on me.
Of all the examples, you use that one.
Oh, but it's a real example.
Okay, fair enough.
It can also be as a result of social or psychological situations. Dare I mention another situation in studio when we had, lyrical interpretations.
And with the second husbands?
Yes, and it was five gentlemen to two.
Just
ladies.
You and my girl.
Yes.
What's her name again?
I can't remember her name.
Oh, Sandra?
Yes, I think that's Sandra. What it is. Sandra. So that's psychological tension right there, you know, overpowered by... And when I was the only female in the studio at the time before that, oh my goodness gracious me.
But you handled yourself well.
Well, thank you very much. But stress can also be internal. Sometimes when you go to the hospital and you hear terms like a stress response or your body's under stress, it's not necessarily the same emotional and environmental stress that we just discussed. But once you are ill, your body is under stress. And that produces a whole slurry, a whole set of hormones. go ahead.
Before you go any further, there's a call on the line. Again, do you wish to engage?
Sure.
Go right ahead.
Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Show.
Yes, good evening. You must always present the guys too.
Oh.
Then you pass your marriage, you're saying that lovely voice you have in this country.
Oh, hi. Yes, I know who this is.
I know that. I'll give you a last night time.
Oh, dear.
Do it too hard.
It's good to hear you. It's good to hear you. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thanks, ma'am.
Okay. Take care. Oh, so you're a superstar now. All righty then.
Well, I might need a bodyguard, Gregston.
Oh, my goodness me. I ain't able to take the lash.
Well, stress can also be internal, like we said, after a medical procedure. So perhaps you might have had a surgery. That causes stress on your body as well. So illness or after a medical procedure. So just to review, stress can either be external, meaning that it's outside of the body, mm-hmm. or it can be internal. So illness or medical procedure done on your body can cause stress.
And people, I want you to pay special attention to these definitions, because you never know.
Oh, yes.
At the end of the series, this
December 22nd.
These questions might come back.
Will.
They will come back. There you go. They will come back. She just told you. So note them down so you can get maybe a prize if there is a prize.
Yeah, we're working on the prizes. All right, there you go. So, a more official definition when it comes to work would be the adverse reaction people have to excessive pressures or other types of demands placed on them by others at work. So there are several words here that we want to take a closer look at or maybe keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
One, it's an adverse reaction. Two, it's excessive pressure. And three, it's demands placed by others. Now, sometimes the demands can be placed by ourselves depending on the type of personality that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Persons that have personalities like a young lady I know, typical type A personality, very straight, very organized, almost perfectionist.
I wonder who this person is. All right, fine. I'll keep quiet. I think I know who it is.
Yes, they can place significant pressure on themselves. You find persons who have the perfectionist type of personality, the types who don't like to offend people, mm-hmm. the types who like to make sure that every I is dotted, every T is crossed.
Everything is in order.
Everything has to be a certain way. These persons find themselves, unfortunately, under stress quite a bit of the time. And their lives, unfortunately, are not the ideal lives to be lived. But we'll discuss that too.
You have another call online, by the way. Just letting you know.
Listen, the thing I was thinking about, I was actually going to say at the beginning of the show, let's try to get the calls in earlier. Because usually at the end we are trying to answer everything. Mm-hmm. But we'll take the call.
All right, ahead.
Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, what could be the factors of person's trying to be a perfectionist, and also can being too exuberant cause stress as well, like anything, if too much of anything isn't good, like even like laughter and like people trying to be like always happy, and if it's not natural, can that cause stress? So the reason for the two things I want to understand is the main reason that person would be like, want to be, everything would be perfect, and stress factors. All right.
Okay, no problem. Well, let's deal with the first one, perfectionism. Perfectionism is not a good state to be in at all, because none of us as human beings has the capacity to be perfect. There will always be a flaw. You find that persons who are perfectionists actually tend to be very critical of themselves. These persons try to please others. They try to avoid confrontation. Instead of being very productive, sometimes these persons are inefficient. And the reason is, let's take the example of doing a project. You have a project, and let's say it's due in 2 weeks. A perfectionist will start early, but there's always tweaking and always tweaking because it's never perfect. Mm-hmm. Something must always be added. And as the deadline draws closer, it still isn't perfect. And then the pressure comes on. Mm-hmm. The pressure comes on. And perfectionists, apart from being very critical of themselves, they're very critical of others. So they have unusually high standards. And when these standards are not met, then there is interpersonal conflict with other persons at work. So you can see how this can promote a stressful environment, because even although a job might be well done by another person, true to fact, the perfectionist will see the one little mistake in an otherwise well done project. Mm-hmm. So this definitely leads to stress. And then the other thing that the lady had mentioned was somebody who seems to be laughing and joyous all the time.
Overdoing.
But it's not genuine. There is some underlying psychological problem. I, by no means, by any stretch of the imagination, am I a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but there is something that's unresolved in that person. They're trying to be who they're not. And trying to be who you're not in itself is stressful. I think as individuals, we need to reach the place where we're comfortable with who we are. If you weigh 250 pounds, that's who you are right now. You're working towards a healthy weight, but you need to be comfortable with who you are. So please don't let it be said that Dr. Boyce is saying that it's okay to be 250 pounds. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm saying. If you find that you are not the social type and you don't like to go out and be bubbly, that's who you are. You don't let anybody make you feel small because of that. And if you're the opposite end of the spectrum, if you are outgoing and you love laughing and that's who you are, be comfortable in your own skin. And that takes a lot of stress. People pleasing, really, it's not a good thing. So I hope that answers the lady's questions.
All right.
If not, you can always call back in for further clarification. Maybe ask it in another way and we'll see if we can help you find the answer that you're looking for, or for which you are looking, for all the English teachers out there. Yes. I wonder why it is that I can speak about perfectionism so easily.
I wonder who that person was you described earlier. Again, I know who it is, but anyway.
Yeah, so stress is not an illness, believe it or not. It's actually a state of existence. Mm-hmm. So you're not sick. It's just a place that you find yourself, this work-related stress. However, being in this state of stress does have physical and mental consequences, especially if it is prolonged. It can actually lead to physical illness. So is all stress bad? Is stress a bad thing? No, it's not. Were it not for stress, some people would never achieve anything in life, which is why we have goals, which is why we have things ahead of us, which we aspire to complete. If you know that you have things coming up at the end of the month, you know, you start thinking about it, there's a low stress, you have to get these numbers in so that the people can get paid. Or you set yourself a goal to lose 20 pounds and you have not been to the gym for the week. Mm. So this sort of stress starts to make you produce. However, when the stress becomes too much, then you become non-productive, or productivity levels tend to go down. And instead of doing things, instead of being efficient, you're inefficient. You're exhausted. You are demotivated. So too much stress really is not a good thing. So what are some of the possible causes of stress on the job? And I'm sure there are many people out there who can identify with some of these causes. Job insecurity. You go to work, the company is not doing well. And as the employee, you can see that the company is not doing well. The numbers are few. Let's take, for example, those people in the hotel industry. You realize that the bookings are not that high. And it's high season where the tourists are supposed to be coming. Mm-hmm. And you realize that people are being sent home and you're wondering, am I
next
on that list? And you start wondering, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to feed the children? How am I going to put gas in the car? If you don't have a car, how am I going to get bus fare? And all of these things, you start thinking about them and you think about them every day. And this causes stress. Long hours. I can speak about long hours. I can't talk about anybody else. But you see, on call, I hated on-call. No, I shouldn't have said that. On-call is one of those things that if I had a choice,
you'd rather not.
I would rather not do. Mm-hmm. I was trying not to be so forceful. But I used to cry almost every night when I was on-call. What on-call meant, let's say I was on-call on Monday. So on Monday morning, I would leave home and I would work until Tuesday afternoon, whatever time I finished working. Yes, having left home.
Monday morning.
For work. Long hours. So those persons who do shift work, those persons who do several shifts because other persons are ill, don't turn up for work, for whatever reason, and you have to work long hours, stress and time pressures. We spoke about the time pressure, you know, assignments are due.
Deadlines.
There was a saying at UE, yes. When there's a tree with yellow flowers, and if that tree has started to put out their yellow flowers and you haven't started studying for exams yet, you're in trouble, because it blooms around the time just before when exams would have been due.
Mm-hmm.
So time pressure. So you can imagine your degree, your future is dependent upon you passing these exams, and that tree has flowered and finished flowering.
Letting you know, yeah, time is on you.
And you have not started studying yet. You can imagine the stress.
Scramble.
That causes. And lack of infrastructure. So you're working in a particular place. Let's take a medical facility, for example, and you can't find gloves. You can't find medications that you need. You are short of staff. So lack of infrastructure.
How's the QEH?
That's you. That's you, Gregston.
I just asked a question. Just asked you, how's the QEH
listen
doing?
Listen to me. No name, no blame, no jail, no lockup. And physical danger as well. There are certain jobs that I know, Gregston, that mm-hmm. I will never do. I will, believe it or not, people don't believe me when I say this, but if push came to shove and the future of my children depended on me weeding the side of the road, and I'm not crying on the people who do that because they're necessary,
mm-hmm.
weeding the side of the road, or, well, I can't work as the person that packs the bags in the supermarket, and it's a simple reason. I just can't get the bags open. I am very serious. So I would not be good.
That's not a false claim, because I have difficulty.
Exactly. So can you imagine that?
Sometimes the lady will call me and tell me, come.
So you can imagine that people are in the queue and my job is to open the bags. So it's not that I'm belittling that job at all. It's just that I really can't do that. I wouldn't be efficient. But I'm not going to be an electrician. No, I don't like electricity. I don't even like to turn on the switch when my hands are wet. I'm so afraid of getting electrocuted, really and truly. So can you imagine me up there on high tension wires? Really? I applaud those men and women who are electricians. Y'all are brave.
So what you're saying is that certain jobs that you can't or won't do is not necessarily because you look down on them, because there's reasons.
There are reasons, and which I think are legitimate reasons.
Which will
stop me from doing those jobs.
All right, fair enough.
Right, so I wouldn't be an electrician.
Can you read by any chance, though?
Not really. No. Oh,
okay.
No. I'm one of those persons that believes in turning money over in the economy.
Oh, so you pay
someone to do it. Therefore, I'm going to, if I can, I'm going to pay somebody. I also believe that if I can afford it, I will let somebody wash my car and help do my part to turn money in the economy.
Okay.
And of course, poor working conditions. So you're
My rates are very reasonable, so I'll check you when I'm in need.
Well, we had a discussion earlier this week about your vehicle. So,
Yes, I remember that discussion.
So poor working conditions, that's another cause for on-the-job stress. So you don't have proper bathroom facilities. There are women there and they don't have containers for sanitary products. There's no soap to wash your hands. You know, there's not a lunch room. All these different things cause on the job stress. Sometimes it's not even a physical thing that causes stress at work. It might be procedures. So you might have a micromanager.
I was waiting for you to get around to the boss man or the colleague, because yes, those two sets of people cause more stress than anything else, as far as I'm concerned.
I think that you can put up with not having a bathroom for some period of time, fine. But a micromanager, somebody who's constantly breathing down your neck. The qualities of a good leader would be you give your workers instructions and you allow them to do what you've paid them to do. So if you're coming behind me every 5 minutes to ask me if I've added up the four columns of numbers that you've given me to do, you're going to frustrate me. You're going to stress me out. And another problem would be unclear roles. So is this my job? Is this what I'm supposed to do? Who is supposed to do this? And if it's not done, whose fault is it? And who is going to get the, what's the word? Who's going to be remanded? Remanded? Reprimanded.
Reprimanded.
Oh, goodness me. Where did I go just now? St. Philip.
Reprimanded. You're being very severe off the butt. You're very severe. Jeez, you want to remand already?
Reprimanded for this thing not being done. And replicated roles. I saw this in one of our government departments and I was astounded. I had to get a document I had to hand in a document which needed a stamp. So I went to the first desk. It needed two stamps. I went to the first desk and it got a stamp. And then they told me I have to go to the next desk to get another stamp. And the next desk was next to the first desk. So I'm thinking to myself, no, this cannot be real. Seriously? Individual number one could not operate two stamps?
You do not know the situation that led to that decision. Maybe there are several times when there are people there waiting for stamps, so therefore, instead of holding one up, just have stamp one, go to the second desk, they'll take her to the second one, and keep the line moving. How about that for an explanation?
Okay. All right, let's talk about another replicated role. Okay? This is one of my pet peeves.
You've got a caller. After you finish that point, you've got a caller.
Okay, let's take the caller, because I probably should say this.
Go ahead.
Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Good evening, Doc, to you and Greg Stern.
Hi, good evening.
Yes, sir.
So, is there any real difference between frustration and stress, or frustration can lead to stress?
I think that's it depends on... Okay, sorry. Mm-hmm.
No, that's one question. I got two more for you, but I ran into the answer.
It depends on your definition of frustration, because frustration really could be stress. Mm. But if I take our Bayesian definition of frustration, I would say frustration leads to stress.
Right. But it is not necessarily stress.
If we are Bayesian. Sometimes frustration could just be irritation.
Right.
You have a particular thing to do, and it could be perhaps you don't like your job. You know, that can be frustrating, causing you some sort of mental...
Fatigue.
I was going to say fatigue, but not necessarily fatigue. Mental angst.
Right, okay, fair enough. The other question, Doc, is this. Can you talk to me on the phone and tell if I'm angry, if I'm frustrated, if I'm happy, can you tell by my tone of voice what state of mind I'm in?
Actually, one of the prerequisites, or one of the things that receptionists and those persons who answer phones, one of the things that they're supposed to do is to answer the phone with a smile, because the caller on the other line hears that smile or hears the pleasantry in the individual's voice. By listening to you, especially if it's somebody that you know, you can tell whether that person is irritated, whether they're upset, whether they're sad or not, just by listening to them.
So the answer to that is yes.
Yes, I think so. And I've experienced it as well, especially when you call certain departments, unfortunately, government departments, I say to myself, clearly this person is having a rough morning. I say that to myself, not to the individual.
Yeah, but I want to tell you that there are some people who come along with a lot of theatrics as well. So you really, I don't think you can really tell how the state of mind of some people because of the theatrics.
Well, not everybody is genuine, but I do believe that there are some things that cannot be hidden. And there are some individuals who are not very good at hiding their emotions. I'm one of those persons. So if I'm displeased with you, you will know.
Especially if you're around Greg Stink.
I knew that was coming, you know. I just knew that was coming.
Anyway, now, the last question. We're talking stress. Can you explain to me what is the difference between a hairline fracture and a stress fracture? And I'll go off the air and listen.
All right,
so a stress fracture, I'm not an orthopedic surgeon. I don't know if they're the same, but when I think about hairline fracture, it's just like that. It is very, very thin, and sometimes it can be missed on an x-ray. A stress fracture speaks to how the fracture was caused. So it could be as a result of pressure on a certain area. You can get stress fractures from running, for example. So runners, you might see stress fractures in them. So this is the best that I can do with my non-orthopedic mind. But what I can promise you is that I will look it up, speak to some of my colleagues who are in orthopedics, and I will let you know for our next show.
You sound correct, though, because I definitely remember in cricket, bowlers having stress fractures in the back from the pressure put on the back from bowling. You know, so you're not being a doctor as well, it seems to me that seems to be pretty correct.
So we hope that answers your question, and thank you for listening. Yes. So thank you for calling in again. We were discussing some of the organizational causes of stress, and we are at 6:30 already. Can you believe it?
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't even gotten halfway. Oh my goodness me. Overpromotion and underpromotion. Can you think about how this would cause stress? For example, you have gone and you have studied, you've gotten your degree, and this is one of the sources of problems in many organizations. Tenure versus qualification. So individual A, individual A has been there for 30 years.
I have a lot to say on that.
Okay, let's not say
this is not the program for it, but go ahead.
So individual A has been there, let's say, for 5 years. They've not gone and they've not improved on their qualifications, but they're familiar with the job and there is a promotion that's due. Individual B has been there for a year. They've gone to different courses and they've gotten a second or third degree. And individual A gets the promotion simply because they were there longer. And it's not necessarily that the skills are that are necessary for the new position could not be acquired by the one who is more qualified for the position. Mm. It's simply sometimes a case of, well, you know, this person was here longer and we can't promote somebody junior over them.
But, you know, it's different now in the public service. Since you were mentioning the government all the time. But anyhow, like I said, this is not the program for it, so we're going to take a bit of time discussing those issues. Go ahead.
And another one is thwarted ambition. You have goals and you have desires and there are things that you want to achieve and you don't get the opportunity. Perhaps illness has intervened. Perhaps there was an unplanned pregnancy. You don't get the opportunity to do these things that you wanted to do. Or you have a manager that no matter how many times you apply for leave to study or you apply to go and do a course or whatever, says no all the time. Mm-hmm. So these things can cause frustration on the job. And sometimes one of the other things that causes stress within the workplace would be the external clients. You have to deal with your manager, your micromanager. You have to deal with an unruly boss. One of, and I can only speak about
our co-host.
That's lofty, isn't it? Well, ladies and gentlemen, here ends the Better Health Radio show for this week.
That was just an example. If y'all could just see her face, like she didn't expect that one coming left field, boom. Doc, you know I love you, so that would never be you.
All three of my stumps have just been knocked out of the ground.
That would never be you. I'm just giving an example.
Yes.
Go ahead, Doc.
So we were talking about causes of stress in the workplace.
You want me to take a break? Because
we need to do an ad. Let's do an ad.
Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize because the doc obviously thought I was referring to her. I was just giving her another example of the things that could happen and, you know, that would cause you stress. It could be, you know, obviously not referring to her. Doc knows that.
We're going to take that.
We come back in about a couple of seconds for us. Let's find something to inform the public about.
The winning sound of Network Sports.
This Tuesday evening from 6:15 on Voice of Barbados and VOB929.com, we continue to track the West Indies playing against Afghanistan. We also keep our eyes on the Super Cup in St. Kitts and Trinidad and Tobago. We get reaction from former West Indies cricketers Jeffrey Dujon and Tony Gray live on Mason and Guest. This Tuesday evening from 6:15 on Voice of Barbados and VOB929.com. You got a date, so don't be late. Mason and Guest, in association with the Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
All right, 25 minutes before the hour of 7 o'clock, we will behave ourselves now and continue to inform and educate you. The doc is back on deck. It's Dr. Renee Boyce, Better Health Radio Show.
Yes, good evening again. We are talking about stress on the job. And just now was a classic example of a stressful situation, but I'm not going to allow that to deter me. So one of the other things I was thinking about when it comes to stress would be the problem with external clients. Those persons who have to deal with persons who are calling in. I spoke earlier, Gregson, about mm-hmm. jobs that I was not able to do. And another one of them is a customer service rep. In my profession, yes, what I do is provide a service. But I've stood in lines and I have watched customers abuse cashiers, for example, abuse tellers in the bank. And I'm the type of person, I would have lost my job the same time.
You would answer back.
Or if I don't answer back, I would just say a polite excuse me and leave and not come back. So these are some of the problems that you can have. Difficulty with people who are, my eye just caught one of the WhatsApps here. And it says, good evening, this is from VOB 341. Some people live alone to get away from some of the stress, and that is true. One of the verses in the Bible that I like is seek peace and pursue it. And if you find that you are unable to live with various persons and you have the means by which you can live alone, certainly for your peace of mind and lack of stress, live alone.
Fair enough.
So what are some of the individual causes of stress? And then we are quickly going to get on to recognizing the signs of stress and then how to manage stress. So there's personal stress, family stress. I tell you, there is nobody in the world that can stress you like your family members. Nobody. Because I think they're so close to your heart mm-hmm. that they're the ones that can stress you the most. And sometimes some of them are just plain old wicked. But that's the truth. It is the truth.
I can see some people nodding their head.
Yes, I know that there are people who are out there nodding. Yes. Of course, in this economic climate, there are financial difficulties, and it really is a challenging and stressful place to be in when you have financial commitments to meet and you can't meet those financial commitments. So you find, I've had patients come in and you're trying to figure out what's going on with them, and then you realize they've recently lost their job, and then they're not sure how they're going to be able to meet their commitments. Their blood pressure is up in the air. Commuting is a cause of individual stress, and I experience that on a daily basis, seeing as how I have to traverse 4 parishes to get to work, and I have to drive behind the SMVs, slow moving vehicles, and then I have to deal with the F-150s that think they own the road, so they're mere inches from my bumper. Yes, those who are trying to overtake 6 cars in a row, but I digress. And we spoke earlier about personality types. So different personalities, like the perfectionist and the type A strict, straight personalities, these are the more prone people to stress. Stress is supposed to save our lives. You've heard about the flight or fight response. In a difficult situation, you're supposed to be able to do one of 2 things. You're either supposed to be able to run for your life or stand up and fight. So if a bear was chasing you, if you lived back in the forest, mm-hmm. and a bear was approaching you, you would either decide, well, I am going to try to fight this bear, or I am going to run for my life.
Which would be the smarter to do, but go ahead.
So your body is designed in such a way that certain hormones like adrenaline and cortisol are produced, and these cause diversion of blood from the non-essential areas, meaning that blood moves from where you don't need it to where you need it. So it goes to the large muscles so that you can run, goes to your brain so you can think clearly, make decisions, and so on. If you find that this is happening all the time, you end up with so many difficult problems from being stressed for a long time. Instead of stress doing something good for us, it weakens our immune system. It causes ulcers. So one of the things you get is increased acid production. And I always say to people, if you don't eat, the acid on your stomach still has a job to do, and it will bore a hole in the lining of your stomach. It causes an increased heart rate, causes increased blood pressure. It leads to mental health issues. And I've heard, and I'm very happy to hear these different ads about taking care of your mental health, something that we really do not do. So, Gregson, this question is for you. Mm-hmm. What are some of the effects you think that stress causes? Sorry.
Another WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm. Peace be unto you, Doc. You're so right. I live alone to be at peace and keep my family away from living with me. Oh, dear. Sorry to hear that. But it's good to be at peace, huh? It is good to be at peace. So, you tell me, Gregson, mm-hmm. what are some of the effects of stress on the body?
Stress on the body. Exhaustion.
Should I applaud you for getting at least one?
That would probably only want to get right, so you might as well give it a fingernail tap.
Exhaustion. Well, think about it. Think about a period in your life when you were stressed. Let's see if somebody can call in and tell us some of the symptoms of stress. Some of the symptoms, the physical symptoms of stress. Is there anybody who is bold enough? Of course, you know that this is going to be a question for our show in December.
Somebody's taking on the challenge.
All right, let's see who is brave enough. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show. Hi. Let's take some of those symptoms.
Not sleeping properly.
Yes.
Not eating properly.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot function in general.
Unable to function, yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Do we have somebody else with some other symptoms? Yes. Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show. You want to share some symptoms of stress?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Headaches.
Yes.
Lack of appetite.
Lack of appetite. And remember, we have to turn our radios down when we call in.
Sorry about that.
That's quite okay.
Yeah, lack of appetite.
Yes.
Headaches. Exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety.
Anxiety, yes.
You can be, what should I say, not frustrated with people. I need a word. You are angry. You can come home and you're just angry at your family.
So aggression?
Aggression. That's not kind of aggression, but like,
Irritable.
Irritable. Yes, that's the word I need. And it could lead to health problems as well.
It does. It leads to several health problems.
Several health problems. Like you can have aches and pains, and that can be from, frustration.
Yes, you're quite right. Quite right. And those are all the ones that you can think of at this point in time?
There's so much, but when you're at that point, it just can't fall. But it can lead to a lot of health challenges as well.
Okay, thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, you're welcome.
We have another caller. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
It can lead to migraine.
Headaches, yes.
Ulcers.
Depression. It can cause mental health issues such as depression or, like the caller before said, anxiety, yes.
Mm-hmm. Some people get their hair falling out.
Loss of hair.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that go wrong because of stress.
Get hurt. It just seems to, as we would say, mash up your body.
Well, that I think that's an appropriate answer. Too much stress mashes up your body. That's I think that's the best way to sum it up.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
That's right. Another call. I got about two more. Two more. Go ahead.
Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Three more now.
Hi. Good evening. This is Anthony Holt here.
Hello, Mr. Holt.
Are the cardinal signs also stress?
Well, we're asking for the effects of stress on the body.
Well, how about the cardinal signs?
You tell me what the cardinal signs are.
Well, then, redding of the area and loss of function.
Well, you mean the cardinal signs of inflammation.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, depending on the effect that stress has on your body, you might get inflammation in certain areas.
I was just wondering if that can become complicated as well.
Well, we're going to discuss the complications of stress a little later on, so you can listen out to see.
Okay, thank you.
Well, listen out to hear, because you can't listen to see.
All right.
We'll take one more.
Well, let's try this one then.
Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Good evening. Happy Independence.
Hello. Thank you.
I like the interaction between you and Grayson.
Okay. Thank you.
You know who you're speaking to, Grayson?
Yes, please.
Yes, I know as well.
Miss B?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Right. Got it right.
Young lady knows very well. There's one that we don't talk too much about, and it's a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
Overeating.
Yes.
Yeah, not only loss of appetite, overeating.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one left that I didn't think of, Or oversexed and undernourished.
Well,
that's stress too. That is stress too. Trust me. That is a lot of stress when you're oversexed and undernourished. Don't giggle, doctor. You're a doctor. You're not supposed to be giggling.
No. The reason was I was going to mention the last one that nobody mentioned, and it was change in sex drive. So that's why I'm chuckling.
Oh,
yeah, that can happen too.
Yes.
The reverse. Yep. But that's it. But get home safely, and please be kind to Grayson. We love him.
I'll try my best.
Thank you kindly, Miss B.
I'll try my best.
All right, take care. All right, Doc, you said one more, but they keep coming. Let's try one more.
One more. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show. Good evening.
That one is not answering. Let's try the other one then.
Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show. Oh, that one's not answering.
Not in your show as usual.
Oh, hello.
This is the comedy in between.
Comedy. Go ahead, sir.
I am going to preempt your birthday so Gregson doesn't get confused when you get closer.
Okay.
Well, this stress, I think muscle tension has a lot to do with it.
Yes, and let me ask you, where do most people feel
shoulders,
tension?
Neck, yes. Back, middle back, lower back.
Ball. Mm-hmm,
correct.
Yes, and also people mention unable to sleep, but I think a factor of stress and depression, there's a link between them.
Yes.
And I think that the fact that when one gets depressed, one cannot so tend to feel to do nothing but sleep. One doesn't want to get out of bed, go and have a shower, cook any food, mm-hmm. nothing. It's just total depression. So stress actually leads to high blood pressure.
It can.
Right, so that's my little contribution.
And thank you. It was a very valuable contribution, as were all the other contributions.
Well, you keep saying all the other, but the doctor, they keep calling.
Well, what we will do...
What should I
is,
do?
No, what we'll do is we're going to ask another question. The mm-hmm. question will be, how can we manage stress? What are some of the things that we can do to manage stress? So those persons who are calling, you can call back in just about 5 minutes or so.
They've got two blinking here, but anyhow, you direct me. Tell me.
Yes, so that's what we'll do. Mm-hmm. We'll just go through the seriousness of chronic stress, mm-hmm. and then we are going to jump right into how to manage stress. So those persons, if they wish, they can either hold on, mm-hmm. or they can give us a call back.
All right,
and we'll discuss. Yes, we'll discuss how to
take care of it.
Take care of stress. Because it makes no sense we come here and we preach about all the different problems that are related to stress and we don't give an answer. Exactly.
I got you.
So this is just for us to understand how serious stress is. And we're talking about chronic stress. We're not talking about that stress that gets you to finish a project or that stress that causes you to have that difficult conversation with an individual that you need to have. We're talking about chronic stress. So according to the American Psychology Association, and I want you all to hear this and hear this well, stress is linked to the 6 leading causes of death, namely cirrhosis of the liver. That's when your liver, the easiest way to say is it becomes, instead of being the smooth organ that it is, it gets all of these nodules in it and it doesn't function properly. Heart disease, accidents, cancer, suicide, and lung disease. These are the 6 leading causes in America, and stress is linked to these 6 leading causes. 3/4 of the doctor's visits are stress-related symptoms. And according to the CDC, 110 million persons per year die due to stress-related illnesses. Now, I know in my little 2x4 rock that I love very much, I'm actually here sporting my independent colors.
Yes, I realize that.
Yeah, I told Gregston earlier that one of my favorite songs is the national anthem of Barbados.
Yeah, she did tell me that.
It is. But 110 million, no, I can't begin to count 110 million people. Imagine, and every year, this number of persons die from this number of persons dies, because it's number mm-hmm. dies, mm-hmm, from stress-related illnesses. Can you imagine that? That's all of Barbados. Dying from stress-related illnesses. Stress is not worth it. So there is a little mnemonic, which means letters that represent words, to remember how we manage stress. So you recognize that you're under stress. So we went through the symptoms. You try to avoid those things. So those persons who wrote in and said that they live by themselves so that they don't have to deal with challenging family members.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's avoidance. You make some changes, and people are going to call in and tell us those changes. And then you have to evaluate those changes. Have the changes that I made, are those changes effective in helping me to manage stress? And if not, you seek help. One of the bad things about this society is that still the perception that going to a counselor...
I think that might be your tablet there.
It's a tablet.
Yeah,
okay, because
so.
I'm
never
I'm
mind.
Thinking,
go ahead.
Oh. Yeah, one of the things about Barbados still is the perception of those persons who go and seek help from a counselor. I think those persons
They were disrupting you, aren't they?
Yes. It's caused me a little stress. Yeah. Those persons who seek help are really the smarter ones. Mm-hmm. Because if you realize that you've done all these different things, you try to avoid, you try to change your behavior, and there is no improvement in your management of stress, find somebody quick, fast, and in a hurry to help you manage your stress. Otherwise, you might find yourself on one of the psychiatric wards. And it is a reality. It really is. So now, we're going to have persons calling in and give us some suggestions on how to manage stress.
All right. I think we've got a call on the line. Let's see if... Hello. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Good evening, Dr. Boyce and Gregson.
Yes, good evening.
Ma'am. I'm a bit late in this one, the signs of symptoms of stress. A catapulting heartbeat, but that's not for you to decide. You go and see the doctor and let the doctor tell you it's not your heart, it's stress.
I agree completely, and that's one of the things that I was going to end the show with, but you got there before me.
Because two nights in a row, the catapulting of my heart woke me from sleeping, and I slept sitting in a sitting position saying I'm going to the doctor the next morning. Each morning I didn't go, but the third morning it came on about 11, so I rushed to the accident and emergency. Two ECGs, echo, treadmill. Nothing wrong with your heart. You're under stress. So you don't decide if this catapulting heartbeat, it is stress. You let the doctor tell you, well, it is stress.
I agree completely. Allow your doctor to say that what you are going through is as a result of stress, rather than sitting down there with an abnormal heart rhythm or having had a heart attack or having an ulcer and thinking that it's, or pancreatic cancer and thinking that it's stress. So you definitely should go and see your doctor.
Thank you.
You are most welcome. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Yeah, Doc, I'm back here.
Yes, please.
When you have stress, sometimes it can be, you can feel it by having a tightness around your head. Not necessarily to the top, but around the sides and mostly to the back. And the other question I want to ask you is this. Is it possible that you can develop stress because of you worrying that you may have some kind of ailment that you're not sure what it is that I can bring on stress? You must answer those two questions for me, please.
Right. So the first one you spoke about is a tension headache, usually felt as a tight band around the head, and it can be as a result of undergoing some amount of stress. The second one, the medical term for that is hypochondriac, those persons who are convinced that they have a medical condition despite several tests being normal. So that can cause stress, because if you're convinced, and usually these persons are convinced that they have a serious underlying medical condition, and you're being told time and time again that there's nothing wrong with you, there is a disparity or a disagreement between you and the doctor, and that causes some stress. So yes, those persons can definitely be under stress.
Okay, thank you, Doc.
You are welcome.
Right, you were going to give us some of the solutions, some of the answers. I think that's where
okay,
we're heading.
Well,
but before you do that,
yes.
Let's see if we can encourage this person to tell us.
Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Oh, hello. I know of a case, an eternal mystery, where you just stopped speaking about
hypochondriac.
Right. But some person was telling her that she's like that, but then she visited another doctor who carried out various other tests, and it was her thyroid.
Mm-hmm. Right, so
if, and they say that the thyroid control the whole body, right?
It's so one of those important glands, yes. Not that there are some that none are. They're all important.
Right, I know, but it's very important, but you don't hear much about it. And so if you have hyperthyroidism, can stress bring it on, or can hypothyroidism give stress because it is causing the body to malfunction?
Hyperthyroidism, the symptoms of hyperthyroidism, as the name suggests, hyper, so you have increased everything. You have an increased heart rate. There's increased weight loss. You go to the bathroom more frequently. You can get anxiety symptoms. So these are just a few of, and you have elevated blood pressure as well. So hyperthyroidism can lead to stress simply because of the physical symptoms. But hypothyroidism can also lead to stress because, as opposed to hyper, which means increased activity, hypo is decreased activity of the thyroid gland. And in that case, you're tired, you feel as though you're running on fumes. So there's decreased bowel movement, there is increased weight gain. And the frustration of not being able to perform as you should can also lead to stress. And then you can think of the underlying medical problems that can occur with either of these two conditions, which themselves can lead to stress.
Right, so then that is something that is totally out of the person's, it is not the person's fault that they are stressed. It's something within the body that has malfunctioned.
Right, so we're not talking about the internal stress as in medical conditions leading to stress. We're talking about external stressors.
Okay.
Today.
Uh-huh.
So the caller just mentioned two very important things that I really do want to reinforce. One, never assume that the symptoms you're having are as a result of stress. If you are feeling unwell, depending on the severity of your symptoms, you can either visit your general practitioner, or if there are severe symptoms, you find the accident and emergency department quick, fast, and in a hurry. The other thing is, even although I said that there is a medical condition called a person called a hypochondriac, a person who's convinced that they have an underlying medical disease, I firmly believe that patients know themselves the best. And if you have gone to a particular physician and they have not found anything wrong with you, you are entitled as a patient for a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, 20th opinion. Because you know yourself better than anybody else. And I can give you one quick case. There was a young lady who came to the clinic and she was complaining of abdominal pain, I think, all the time. And she was being told that it's in her head. And certain tests were done on her later, and it was found out that she had a very rare condition. So that's what happens sometimes. Rare conditions can cause, you know, things that you really don't know about can cause you to present with symptoms, and people might think that's all in your head, but really and truly it's not.
There's someone there trying to get your attention on the WhatsApp?
No, there's someone to the left who has caught my attention, alerting me to the fact that...
Ah, that's Barry. For those who are listening, that's Barry. He's going to take over as the host of the next show coming up.
I'm sitting in Barry's chair.
But Barry doesn't mind, because we're going to reimburse him if we go over his time as well. So you go ahead.
So we are discussing stress today, Barry. We're discussing stress, and we're almost finished. We're waiting on the callers to tell us different ways that we could overcome some stress. But I have a few suggestions here.
Yes, give us a sense we're getting small on time.
Yes, right. You can work on punctuality. So if you find that you don't have enough time and you're getting to work late, you know, try to get to work early. It's a simple thing. You know, become more efficient and organized. So don't have your desk all helter-skelter and you can't find anything and you're inefficient. Just try to become more organized. If there's something that you're not certain about, you ask for clarification. Am I supposed to do A, B, or C, or am I supposed to do C, B, or A? You try to be more assertive. You try to be more assertive sometimes. And what you have to do is sometimes talk to yourself. You know, positive self-talk seems to reduce the amount of stress. Cannot say enough for exercising. Find a hobby.
I think that's one of the most critical solutions as far as I am concerned.
It is. So exercise does a body good. It really does. There's so many things, so many benefits for exercise, and we can do a whole show on exercise. And other things you can do would be to take frequent breaks during the day. And those persons who have a particular faith to which they subscribe, then you draw strength from your faith. Use your family and friends as support. For those persons whose family cause them stress, well, clearly you can't use them for support in your stressful situation. And another thing, my last point, will be to use your vacation wisely. Use your vacation wisely. So you're not supposed to go to the doctor and ask for 2 weeks. No, do not do it. It puts the doctor in a very compromised position. What you're supposed to do is use your vacation for rest and relaxation. Okay. As usual, Gregston.
Just one quick question before you go.
Yes.
Apart from the fact that you're not supposed to ask the doctor for 2 weeks' time, I assume you're talking about leave, yes. Sick leave. Mm-hmm. Let's call it what it is, sick leave.
Yes.
The doctor will tell us that I need 2 weeks as opposed to me asking him for it. He will tell me I need 2 weeks.
Exactly. Because it's written on the form, in my opinion, uh-huh. Not in your opinion, my opinion. Right.
Before you go quickly.
Yes, please.
Now, when you've been diagnosed with stress, do we treat that medically or do we just tell them to do exactly what you say, get some exercise, get yourself organized? Do we ever treat it medically?
It depends on the symptoms. Mm-hmm. Sometimes some of the callers had said before that you can get depression and sometimes you get symptoms of anxiety. And if they are preventing function, then those can be treated medically. However, you still have to deal with the underlying problem, which is the underlying cause of stress, and you're supposed to do lifestyle measures as well. Sometimes medication really and truly is the last resort. Mm-hmm. And it depends on the severity, because sometimes it might really be needed in the initial stages to get you to be able to function again. And then after we've dealt with whatever is causing the underlying stress, we can wean you off the medication and see how you progress in society.
Wonderful. Now, you're causing the gentleman to my right stress because you were taking their time out.
I was given permission.
Yes, you were. I said, we will give you back the time, gentlemen.
Correct.
So
you have 3 minutes to give him back. But really and truly, it has been my pleasure being here again. Mm-hmm. Remember, next week we're doing...
Uh-huh. We were so happy this evening. You belted it out earlier because
you
remember
that's
then.
That's why. So you can go and listen to the podcast to find out what we're doing next week because I cannot remember.
You know, I'm here trying to remember. I can't remember either. See, yes, contraception.
Yes, Dr. Courtney Yarbrough. So look out for that show next week. Y'all have a wonderful evening. I am gone.
All right. That's Dr. Renee Boyce, of course, always on deck for the Better Health Radio Show. We are always happy to have her next weekend, 6 o'clock. As usual, we will invite her back and have another riveting conversation about something medical. And she just remembered again that we will do contraception next week. So you can look forward to that.